Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3. The game, Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly in once again today for Jared. Jared will be back on Friday. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. As always, we are brought to you by the Southern Bank of Tennessee, your bank for small business. Gentlemen, how are we on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon?
I'm kind of ticked. I'm over the average age of 15 and a half already.
I know.
We got to stop that.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting all the teenager jokes. I am 25 years old.
I'm 21. So that puts us at an average age of 23.
See, I think in order to be considered super young, your age has to start with, like, the year you were born starts with 2000. So you fall in there. I am still a 99, baby. So
I am young. And I wear that with a badge of pride. I'm the youngest one in this industry. In this city, so
that is true. That is true. It's an accomplishment.
That is an accomplishment. It's something we should celebrate.
That's true. You shouldn't be knocked for that at all. We got a fun show planned for you today. We mentioned yesterday it's list season as we get ready for NFL training camp. So all of the rankings are coming out. Bill Barnwell ranked the Titans playmakers, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, the worst in the NFL. We're going to start with that in the next segment. Do we think he's right? How far can the Titans rise in those rankings by the end of the year? Again, we're also going to continue our NFL preview. This week, we're going all the way through. We split it into quadrants. We've already done the AFC North and the NFC North, both East divisions. Today, we go out west. AFC West, NFC West. That's in the 3 o'clock hour. Bleacher Report also listed their Titans Mount Rushmore. We will go through the four they picked, what changes we would make, and much more. But first, what headlines do we have this morning? Parker Kelly, why don't you lead us off?
Well, I would just like to give a quick shout out to Kroger, because on my way here, I needed to fill up my gas tank. And
no free ads.
I got no free advertising.
You're doing a free ad right now.
Anyways, an undisclosed gas station, I got $1.20 off a gallon. So unlike Connor, wow. I'm actually doing pretty swell today. So I was doing swell,
and then I walked in, and Willie and Derek just
until the
tore
teenager
me down.
Jokes, you know,
and then
yeah.
David James made it worse.
I could what hear did David do?
I don't know.
Just saying you were young.
I could hear him outside when I walked in.
Okay, so my headline actually has to do with the new quarterback show, and I'm not going to steal Connor's thunder or anything, but overall, general first impressions from the first episode. Just watched the first episode last night. I really enjoyed it, and I really like how they're getting Jared Goff on here, and they're talking about how he got pushed out by the LA Rams. He was welcomed with open arms by Detroit. The city absolutely embraced him, loves him, and yeah, I really liked the first episode. Really excited to finish the season.
Yeah, I watched the first full season of that. It was Mahomes, Cousins, and
Mariota.
I did watch that full season. I started receiver last year and
didn't
get through it.
Yeah.
But I may have to get back into it for this one, because it does seem like it's pretty well received at this point.
It's pretty good. That's kind of where my headline goes. I was watching it too last night, and I saw they were talking to Kirk Cousins about him coming over to Atlanta and how he didn't want to sign with Minnesota because it was more of a year-to-year thing, and he wanted someplace long-term. Then, of course, the Falcons draft Michael Penix Jr. They asked Kirk Cousins his thoughts on that, and basically he said, yeah, I was kind of pissed. It didn't make sense for us long-term or my career long-term, and I don't really know how I fit into this equation. And I saw that, and I was like, oh, that's going to make some headlines. People are going to be watching that and saying, that's a headline. Sure enough, I wake up this morning, get an alert from, I think it was one of the national NFL guys, and I was like, yep, called that one.
Yep.
So, that's a good one.
No, I think that was probably one of the bigger things that I wanted to see with this season of quarterback, was just how that whole thing was handled with Kirk Cousins. Because you bring him in as a free agent, sign him to what? It was a 3-year deal, 4-year deal?
4 years, $180 million.
Yeah, and then you go draft a quarterback in the top 10. We've seen this happen before in maybe not the exact same way, but similar. I will be interested to look at that.
And we obviously know what happens.
Like, right. We know exactly how it plays out. So
I'm just curious his thoughts on stuff. Like,
yeah,
they're going to ask him, you know, how did it feel being benched for the guy that was essentially drafted to be
right.
the replacement? And I'm really, really interested to see how he feels about that.
And it was interesting, too, because he talked about the offense and how there were a bunch of, like, motions and stuff, and it just did not feel like football to him.
Yeah.
So there was, like, obviously a lot going on behind the scenes.
That was one quote he had.
Yeah.
He was like, when's it going to feel like we've been playing football all our lives? And if it takes 6 weeks, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
And it clearly took longer than that because the Falcons missed the playoffs.
Got to say, the Falcons in the two seasons of quarterback, they've been on both, and neither time did they come out smelling like flowers. I mean, the whole Marcus Mariota situation, we don't really know exactly who's to blame in that, where Marcus, I guess, said he was going to get surgery, and Arthur Smith apparently never heard that and said that he left the team, all that kind of stuff 2 years ago, and then this year with Kirk basically saying he was blindsided by the whole Michael Penix situation. So I might have to watch that. I think you guys have convinced me that
it's
will,
interesting.
I will start it. My headline today is not sports related. Connor, I know you're big on gym etiquette, so I wanted to get I wanted to get some thoughts on this, and Parker, I think you would have some thoughts on this too. So I went to the gym this morning, and big line of benches, they're all open.
Okay.
And so I wasn't actually using a bench, but I was doing dumbbell workouts. So I just went and set up at the far end next to the last bench. Figured that was out of the way, but still a place where I could,
I know
do my workouts. Guy comes up. Again, every bench is open. And sits down on the bench right next to me.
Oh, my God. See, I put that on the same level as bathroom etiquette.
I was about to say, is it like the urinal game? With benches of where, like, there's an etiquette of which ones you choose.
It's the unwritten rule. Like,
right.
Have you ever had to explain the urinal rule to a significant other before?
Yeah.
Jake?
Yeah.
Have you had to?
No, because they don't understand it, but it's...
I'm sorry.
Girlfriends.
Have you ever had to explain it before, Connor? Sorry,
yes.
I didn't want to leave
you
out there.
Yes, I have.
Okay. Yes. And it's very... There is an etiquette to it of what you choose, and I felt very blindsided today when I'm doing my workouts, and this guy just comes up and... sets up shop right next to me.
How sweaty was he?
That's
a really weird question to ask. But.
He wasn't super sweaty, but he only...
clipping that.
He was only there for like 3 minutes. He knocked out two quick sets and then walked away and went to the next. I was like, all right, I don't know what's going on here, but I was very... I had a reaction to it that I don't know how to explain, but I was just like, what are you doing?
I may have to put out a revised set of gym etiquette.
Of gym etiquette, yeah. I know you did Newt's notes on this one.
We did that a while ago. Now you're going to send me on a whole tangent. People that just sit at the machines on their phones
right.
drives me insane. I mean, we could do a whole show on this.
Yeah, It was something, as soon as it happened, I was like, I think Connor will have some pretty strong thoughts on this. But that was, my thought was that benches, it's the same way as it would be in the bathroom of, all right, if there is a spot where I don't have to be next to somebody, I'm not going to be next to somebody. Obviously, if there's one bench left, it's all good to take it.
It's like parking.
Right.
Like if it's an open parking lot and there's one car there... I'm probably going somewhere, A, that's far away from them, and B, where I can pull through, because
right.
that's easier.
Exactly. No, I'm glad that we're all on the same page, because that did, it irked me this morning.
Are you excited? Because I know Nevada Josh is excited.
Yes.
It's Raiders
it
Day,
It is
Josh.
Raiders Day.
It's Raiders Day.
Yes. Nevada Josh told us, is it, I don't want to get it wrong. Nevada?
I say Nevada.
Nevada.
But a lot of people... in this area, say Nevada.
Well, I know that there is a right way to say it, and I always worry I'm saying it wrong. It's like Louisville. Like
it's Louisville.
Louisville.
Right.
But like some people say Louisville. And
or Louisville.
It gets people...
Is it caramel or caramel?
I go caramel.
Bingo.
Caramel.
Wrong.
I know it's probably wrong, but I don't care.
We've gone off on a ridiculous
There's
tangent.
Only one wrong, last one, that Joe Rexroad and I and Robbie too fight on. It's called soda. It's not pop.
Yeah, it's not pop. It's soda.
See, you're a northerner. You know this.
Well, I'm not a Midwesterner. Midwesterners are the ones who say pop.
Midwesterners are the worst, man.
Indiana,
let me tell you.
You know,
let me tell you.
Did you know that people in Louisiana call everything Coke?
I thought that was just a southern thing. We kind of do the same thing
really?
Here.
Really?
Do you know what they call water fountains in Milwaukee?
The bubbler.
Bubblers.
Wow. Yeah, the Midwest, they've got some lingo. And the accents are funny. Roof. They'll say roof, roof.
Tag. We're going to go play a game of tag.
Anyway,
tag.
Yeah.
Jaguar.
It's not cornhole. It's bags. Bags.
Culver's.
Bags. Josh, anyway, on our text line says, been waiting all week for this one, talking about the coming season champs, so beware. He did warn us on Monday that there was no reason to do our NFL preview exercise because the Raiders are taking home the Lombardi. So we will talk about the Raiders coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. We are going to lead off the show with the Titans, though. Bill Barnwell of ESPN ranked the NFL playmaking groups from 1 to 32. Spoiler alert, the Titans are 32. Is that right? Is that wrong? And where can the Titans make the most strides when it comes to their running backs, receivers, and tight ends? Also, Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, is going to join us at 2:45. Excited for that. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, we are in for Jared Stillman today, off and rolling here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. The Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix is coming to the Nashville Super Speedway Labor Day weekend, and 102.5, The Game has your chance to win VIP tickets to the IndyCar race. Text in the keyword RACE, R-A-C-E, now to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP tickets. For more information on the event, visit musiccitygp.com. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt in for Jared Stillman today. Parker Kelly with us as well. We did get clarification on our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com that it is Nevada, not Nevada. Thank you, Nevada.
I will still say Nevada. But let's talk some sports, shall we?
If you want to chime in, again, you can text us, 615-737-1025. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's talk some Titans. This week, Bill Barnwell rank the playmaking groups, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, across the NFL, 1 through 32. And I've already spoiled it for you. The Titans dead last. And last year, they were ranked 19th. So a pretty steep drop-off. I guess he had a lot of hope for Treylon Burks last year. I'm not really sure what exactly changed all that much. Here is a little excerpt of what Bill Barnwell said. He says, Tony Pollard looked better than he did while recovering from a fractured fibula with the Cowboys in 2023, but he ranked 20th out of 23 players with at least 200 carries in success rate. Tajay Spears had a better success rate, but virtually no explosiveness. As for the wide receivers, Tyler Lockett was a cap casualty in Seattle, whose numbers were way down. Calvin Ridley was better moving around the formation in Tennessee after being trapped on the outside in Jacksonville, but he dropped 7 passes. And then he mentions the rookies. Elik Iemanar has the upside to push for a starting role, and he does mention that he did get Travis Hunter pretty good a couple of years ago when Stanford played Colorado. Looking at what Bill Barnwell says, I'm not sure that he totally grasps what the Titans' core when it comes to pass catchers and playmakers is going to look like. I do think the young guys are going to get a lot of opportunities. Calvin Ridley, as we talked about earlier this week, I think doesn't get as much credit as he deserves for being a wide receiver one. But overall, I think it is hard to argue that the Titans do have one of the worst groups in terms of playmakers, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends in the league. There isn't really anyone established out of Calvin Ridley, and there's a lot of question marks when it comes to the young guys.
I'd say they have one of the worst. I don't know if I would go as far as to say the worst. I'm looking at the Cleveland Browns right now. They have, other than Myles Garrett, absolutely nothing. I mean, their best receiver is David Njoku, who's a tight end. He is sort of a playmaker, but when I think of explosive playmaking tight ends, he doesn't come to mind for me.
Jerry Judy's in there too.
Jerry Judy is right. Like, he'll have one play every once in a while, but for the most part, it's just like kind of drops and maybe a short 5-yard out route or something like that. He doesn't impress me that much.
Yeah, I think Calvin Ridley would. Well, I would consider him better.
I mean, it's just I'm looking at all these teams. The Browns come to mind for me. Let's see.
Well, here's who they had: the Panthers 31st. They did take Tet McMillan in the top 10. They have Xavier Leggett, who you would hope would have a big jump in his second year, you know, with his awesome accent that he's got down there in Carolina.
Oh, he's great.
And Adam Thielen is probably the veteran there, but I do look at the Titans group against the Panthers group, and I know we're splitting hairs whether the Titans are 31st or 32nd, but I think I would take the Titans group because you do have Calvin Ridley, a veteran, established wide receiver one, and a bunch of young guys competing, whereas with Carolina, it's Adam Thielen, who is well on the downside of his career. And even though the prospects of these young players may be a little better for Carolina, they're still big question marks heading into this season as well.
I'm looking at the Denver Broncos now. They don't have many players. I mean, Patrick Surtain, of course. But on the offensive side of the ball, do you want to count Bo Nix? I don't really count him. They drafted Troy Franklin out of Oregon.
Yeah, this is just running backs, wide receivers, tight ends.
Okay.
The Broncos are ranked 23rd, according to Bill Barnwell. Mm-mm. They added R.J. Harvey in the draft, which I like R.J. Harvey. He was UCF, right?
Yeah.
He was one of the better running backs in this class. And then Evan Engram coming over. I wouldn't have hated if the Titans went and got Evan Engram.
He's not
going to do much for you blocking-wise, but I think he is going to be a good target for Bo Nix. And then you did mention Troy Franklin along with Cortland Sutton. So 23 seems a little high.
There's not anything there. I mean, do you think that any of those players are more explosive than Calvin Ridley potentially could be?
No.
Right.
The Chargers were 32nd last year, and they've moved up 10 spots.
They should.
With Ladd McConkey, I think that's, that was a big addition.
Amarian Hampton is coming in.
They completely overhauled their running back room with Najee Harris, who can be your kind of bruising back, and then you have Amarian Hampton, who can learn behind him as the rookie, mm-hmm. Picked in the first round out of UNC. So I think that is a...
They drafted a receiver, too.
Yes, they did.
It was...
Ole Miss guy. Trey Harris.
Yeah,
yes.
Trey Harris.
So I do think that's maybe a blueprint for the Titans in terms of what the Chargers did. Is they had a couple of younger guys. I think the Titans are going to have to overhaul the running back room after this year. And that was kind of where I wanted to go with this, of what can the Titans do this year to improve and not be in the cellar of the NFL when it comes to the touchdown scoring players, which, again, Titans ranked 32nd according to Bill Barnwell. I think running backs are going to be a big turning point for the Titans next year, because Pollard, there's an out in his contract after next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can get out of that, and I think you'd probably want to. Not that he's going to be bad this year, but I
think it would depend on the season Tajay Spears has.
I'm kind of to the point where I don't know if you keep Tajay Spears.
That's what I'm saying. If he doesn't have a good season this year, if it's more of the same, I'm kind of with you. I'm to the point where I'm like, we've seen enough.
I do like Tajay Spears, and I like the pick coming out of Tulane, but Bill Barnwell mentioning that Tajay Spears wasn't very explosive last year, isn't that kind of what he was supposed to be? Is, all right, Pollard's going to be your every down back, but when you need explosive plays, you're going to go to Tajay Spears. If he's not bringing that and not making plays out of the backfield and getting you chunk plays, X plays down the field, I don't know if there's really a whole lot of use for Tajay Spears.
That's what TD and I talked about on Talking with TD. Like, Tony Pollard was basically the Titans' workhorse last year, but he's not Derrick Henry. And that's no slight to Tony Pollard, but like he's not supposed to be a workhorse running back. So if you incorporate balance by getting Tajay Spears in there too, that takes pressure off of a rookie quarterback in Cam Ward. And like, I know what I saw at Tulane from Tajay Spears. Like, we all saw it. He was really explosive, and we just have not seen that in the NFL.
There were flashes of it in his rookie season, I think. But last year, I half expected by the end of the year, Tajay Spears was going to take the lion's share of touches from Tony Pollard, and it just never happened. And part of that is Tony Pollard did have a good season, but Tajay Spears just never really challenged him for any of that. 3555 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunt.com, makes a good point. The Titans had D-Hop coming off a solid season heading into last year. That's why they were ranked so much higher. Does anybody else just completely forget that DeAndre Hopkins was on that team last year?
Yeah.
Like, I understand. Like, I remember, obviously, I remember he was on the team. He had a pretty good game against Miami. And they have a touchdown against the Colts, too.
Yes.
But then they trade him to the Chiefs. I completely spaced that DeAndre Hopkins was on that team at the start of the year.
Imagine how Chiefs fans feel. Like, do they remember that he was on their Super Bowl roster?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and he came out and immediately scored 3 touchdowns in his first game with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think so.
He had a big game in his first game with the Chiefs, which it is funny because that was part of the quote-unquote toxic positivity with the Titans last year was, oh, you've got Ridley and Hopkins, and hopefully Burks takes a jump this year for Will Levis. And, I mean, I guess that's why you look, and they were ranked 19th last year, which isn't elite, but you're middle of the pack.
I mean, I was excited for D-Hop and Calvin Ridley on the same. We all got hook, line, and sink.
Right, and D-Hop was coming off a really good season in that that first year with the Titans. So that is funny. I was thinking about it. I was like, man, 19th. Who were they factoring in there? It was DeAndre Hopkins. That was 100% who it was.
Good point. Good text.
The Titans are not going veteran this year, and I understand they have Tyler Lockett. They got Van Jefferson. I just don't know how much those guys are going to be part of the long-term plan. This is all about the young guys. Aya Manor, DK, Restrepo if he makes the team, and Gunnar Helm. Are those guys going to be able to take the next step? I think that is going to be the most important thing for the Titans if they are going to improve this group. You're going to have to add more pieces, whether that's through free agency or trade or the draft. But if you can hit on one or two of those guys, it's going to make the rebuild of this playmaking core so much easier. We'll continue on that topic coming up next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, we are in for Jared Stillman today, talking Titans playmakers after Bill Barnwell of ESPN ranked the Titans running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends dead last in the NFL. Also, don't forget, coming up at 2:45, forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders going to join us on the program. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, in for Jared Stillman today here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. 102.5, The Game is teamed up with Pella Windows and the Nashville Humane Association for a puppy pet adoption this Saturday at Pella, 277 Mallory Station Road in Cool Springs from 10 to noon. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. Jake Lyman and Connor Newt filling in for Jared Stillman today and tomorrow. Jared will be back on Friday. Again, coming up at 3. We are going to continue our week-long NFL preview. We have done the North. We've done the East. Today, we go out West. AFC West, NFC West will run through all 8 teams and what we expect to see from them in the 2025 NFL season. Also, Chris Sanders going to join us for his weekly appearance on the program in the next segment. But continuing our conversation.
Hold on. Can I give you a little bit of breaking news?
Oh, yes.
December 6th, Bridgestone Arena, Illinois and Tennessee men's basketball.
Wow. So is that, so Tennessee's coming here?
It's a weekend.
Coming here?
The 5th.
Oh, so it's the same weekend?
It's all weekend.
Well, that's not exactly breaking news because John Rothstein
broke
that.
I was going to say, John Rothstein.
It was a good effort.
Well, Bridgestone Arena
just
tweeted this.
Officially announced it.
Yeah. Because they did play at the United Center last season, so.
That'll be a fun weekend of basketball. It is nice when some big games make their way to Nashville.
Sorry.
Kentucky's playing Gonzaga?
Yes.
Gotcha.
I will be there.
Love it.
Sorry, I was trying to break a little news because I hadn't heard that before. But
it officially became official today. So.
John Rothstein just tweets out these random non-conference matchups.
John Rothstein tweets out like 100 times
it's
a day,
like,
so it's easy to miss.
St. John's will be hosting Marist in a non-conference game on November 12th. Standalone game. Like, that's his tweets pretty much once an hour. So, easy to miss them. But that'll be cool. Full weekend of basketball, Bridgestone Arena, Kentucky Gonzaga, and Tennessee, Illinois. Anyway, back to our conversation around the Titans playmakers. Ranked dead last in the NFL by ESPN's Bill Barnwell. That is running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. This season, I do think, and we've talked about this before, that the Titans probably going to need to make some changes in the running back room after this season.
Mm-hmm.
Probably going to have to invest some high capital, whether that's in free agency or in the draft at wide receiver, depending on what Gunnar Helm looks like tight end. But to develop depth in those positions, you need the young guys to be good. And I think out of the 3 rookie wide receivers you have that have a chance to make this team or will make the team, you need at least one of them to be a hit.
Yes.
To be a starting level wide receiver in this league, Aya Manor, DK, and Restrepo. I'm not saying any of them have to be superstars. I think you're going to find a superstar somewhere else.
But one needs to be serviceable.
Right.
Needs to be a target for your young quarterback.
I think you're going to find your future wide receiver one for Cam Ward in the first round of a draft, whether that's this upcoming year or the one after that. But you hope that maybe your wide receiver two or your slot guy came out of this draft.
Yes. And, I mean, you can make a case for all three of them to likely hit without being overly positive.
Yeah. They are all very different players.
Right.
But... And again, they're either fourth round picks or undrafted free agents. So the hit rate is not very high. You're hoping that, you know, you throw three darts and one of them hits the board.
Yeah. I mean, they're all, like you said, they're all different players. DK is more of a speedster, needs to work on his hands a little bit, but that's teachable. Elegamanner is more of a slot guy. Like, he's going to run routes and he's going to do them effectively. And then Xavier Restrepo is slower, plays game speed, but he's more of a physical kind of guy. And it helps that, you know, that was Cam Ward's teammate. So they all have cases that, A, they're all probably going to make the roster, and B, one of the three all have cases to likely hit. Maybe not likely, but there's a possibility.
I think when you take three chances on talented guys like that, and I know there's the people who aren't as high on Restrepo. And I get it. He didn't run a good 40 time. He's undrafted, so you can't really expect much from him.
Right.
But he was an All-American.
Yeah.
And he was the all-time leading receiver at the University of Miami.
And a Biletnikoff contender.
Like it, I'm not saying that he's going to be a star, but I think the idea of him making the team is maybe not likely, but very, very possible.
Right. I just think he's going to make the team. It's not me saying, well, he's going to be an all-pro receiver
right.
His first year. I have no idea what he's going to
do. I think he's your backup slot this year.
Yeah. I don't think he sees the field much if he makes the roster.
Here's the thing, guys. I did my official 53-man roster projection, and I said, TD and I both said at the start of the year, the start of the offseason, that Xavier Restrepo would make this team. Here's the problem, though. There are so many guys on this that have potential that are fringe guys.
Right.
Bryce Oliver being one of them. Mm. And Bryce Oliver had three touchdowns the final day of minicamp. If he continues that production, Bryce Oliver's making the team.
Yeah.
And I don't know where that leaves Xavier Restrepo.
The back end of this wide receiver room in terms of, you know, I feel pretty good that obviously Ridley, Lockett, Iamanner,
Jefferson,
DK, Jefferson. Probably make the team. Here's my question for you. If you're only keeping six, do you cut Van Jefferson to get Restrepo and Oliver on the roster?
Mm.
It's a tough question because that leaves your receiver room really young. That means you have three rookies and a second-year guy who was a practice squatter most of last year as your wide receivers three through six. So it's very young. But I also... just wonder, do you take the risk of trying to sneak Restrepo or Bryce Oliver through waivers to get him to the practice squad when Van Jefferson, he had like 200 yards last year.
Yeah, but I'd be okay with, I think I'd keep him just for locker room things. He's a veteran. He's a wide receiver that can help some of these young guys learn a thing or two. Not that he's the greatest wide receiver of all time, but he knows what an NFL game looks like and he knows how to succeed on an NFL team. I mean, he was on the Rams Super Bowl team, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So I would keep him just for an experience perspective, just for, you know, you have a receiver that has experience in the league and that these young guys can kind of learn from.
It's a ceiling versus floor argument because I think Van Jefferson would be a safe pick. I think you'd feel really good about Van Jefferson being your wide receiver four or five.
Right.
But in terms of long-term potential, I don't know if Van Jefferson is going to be part of this long-term. Actually, I pretty much
absolutely
know that
not.
The Titans are not going to look at Van Jefferson
he's
as a
not,
long-term plan.
No, he's not a long-term investment. I think he's more of a 1 to 2 year guy that, you know, we're going to bring in to try and get our wide receiver room back on track with some of these young guys
right.
that we bring in.
Which just makes me wonder, if it's close between Jefferson, Restrepo, Oliver, and you're only keeping two, I might lean towards keeping the young guys and giving them a chance, especially in a year where you know you're probably not going to compete. give those guys the reps on the active roster and hope that they turn into starting level players heading into next year. Let's quickly go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam from Portland wants to chime in on the Titans wide receivers. Adam, what's going on? Go ahead.
Dude, it's real weird, though, because if you think, did you guys follow the Titans in 2021?
Yes.
Of course.
Okay, so do you remember that year? We had Julio, we had AJ, and I was like, this team's going to be great. Like, this is going to be an all-time Titans roster. Julio gets hurt. AJ wasn't AJ. Like, he had moments, but then he ended up getting hurt as well. And the next thing you know, man, it's like, Marcus Johnson's playing more. Right. Tracy McMath's playing more. And then Marcus Johnson gets hurt. As soon as he has a 100-yard game, he gets hurt. So all these dudes you're saying may have a role, man. I don't want to say they're trash. They're obviously not studs. But there's going to be somebody that has to step up. There's dudes that you guys are not talking about right now that's going to be making balls or catching balls for Cam Ward. Like, that's the interesting thing about it. It's like we're seeing our team be rebuilt. So we actually get to see this developing part. I think – I like Restrepo, man. Like, I'm not dismissing the fact that he could play. If he's good with Cam, there's been plenty of slow dudes that end up, like, busting out in the NFL.
No, it's a very good point. And you're right that most likely Mason Kinsey will find his way onto an active roster at some point.
I guarantee that's going to happen. Like, I can almost guarantee that's going to happen.
He always tweets it out, the Simpsons meme of him getting thrown out and then standing right back behind him.
Colton Dowell's also a possibility. Like,
practice squad.
He's definitely not going to make the 53-man roster, but I don't know because – that you can keep 15 guys on the practice squad, but they have to go through waivers. I don't see Colton Dowell as a guy that's going to go to another team, so he may just re-sign with the Titans on the practice squad.
It's true, and it's very possible. I love that Adam did mention the 2021 team, because that is true. Everybody looks back and is like, oh, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, but there were games when the Titans' starting wide receivers were Marcus Johnson and Racy McMath. Do you guys know in the rain-soaked, horrible Tannehill threw four picks loss to the Texans that year? I was at this game visiting Nashville at Nissan Stadium. Do you know who caught the only touchdown in that game for the Titans?
Which game was this?
This was the Titans-Texans game in 2021. The Titans were horrible. Tannehill threw, I think he threw four picks. And they lost to a Texans team that I think had one win heading into it.
Kyle Phillips.
No.
I don't. Actually, he wasn't here yet.
See, I was thinking A.J. Brown, but that was like when
AJ
the Titans earned the one
seed. I don't think A.J. played that
day.
Play.
Yeah. He had an ankle thing, right?
I think so. Because he came back a couple weeks later and had that huge game against the 49ers.
Yes.
And the Ravens.
On Monday Night Football.
Thursday Night Football.
It was a prime time. I always get that mixed up. I just remember being at school.
Draft pick for the Titans. On Des Fitzpatrick caught that touchdown.
Fitzpatrick. Yes, Des. Hey, where is he now?
I don't know.
Maybe we'll find out.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we'll talk about a much better Titans wide receiver, talk with a much better Titans wide receiver than some of the guys we've been discussing. Chris Sanders going to join us coming up next.
Uncle Chris.
Here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt in for Jared Stillman today. And we are now pleased to be joined on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Chris, always great to get a chance to talk to you. How's it going?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. I just got off the football field. My voice a little grassy, so just kind of bear with me a little bit. You know when you got that coach and you screaming and yelling and all that stuff, so just kind of bear with me a little bit today.
I can't believe you guys are already up and running. When do you guys start practice?
Man, we started practice at 6 in the morning, and we just got off the dead period. But before that, we had 3 weeks of grinding, lifting weights, and you know, installing the new offense. So we ready to go, man.
Wow.
Love it. When do pads come on, Chris?
Man, they don't come out to a camp. We go to camp to Suwannee and I think the 27th for like 4 days. And the pads are going to be popping. It's going to be hot, mosquitoes everywhere. And, you know, I'm going to grow an afro and I don't got that much hair, but I'm going to grow an afro. So it's gonna be
Hey, when did Carl Weathers start coaching?
Oh wow. Hey, what was that? Remember that dude called Mr. Bean? That's you.
You're Mr. Bean.
It's the beauty of high school football. Chris,
oh man,
we were just talking about this this article that came out yesterday. ESPN ranking the running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends for all 32 NFL teams, and the Titans were dead last, number 32. What do you think of the Titans' skill position groups, and do you think they've given Cam Ward enough to have some success in his rookie season?
You know what, I really do, and I know the reason why I know they're going off last year, and you have to go off last year, because if you look at the receiver position, Calvin really was the only guy that was kind of making plays, but I want you to understand the roster that they have now. You got some veteran guys that you picked up, like Tyler Lockett, a guy that has 661 receptions, 8,000 yards. Then you got, you know, you got some veterans. I mean, not some veterans. You got some young guys that you picked up in the draft. And then you got Van Jefferson that's kind of been lost in the shuffle. I know he won a Super Bowl with Los Angeles. But, man, you got some guys that can make some plays. I know there's about 50,000 receivers on this roster. But you have some guys that have some playmaking ability.
When you look at the rookies on this, wide receivers and tight ends with Helm and Restrepo, Iamanner, DK, who do you feel like fits best to make an immediate impact with this team?
Restrepo. I mean, he's that dude. Everybody's getting on him because he ran a – didn't he run like a 7.5 in the 40? Something like that.
He was walking.
But see, here's the thing that you got to understand. It's not always about running a 4.3. It's not always about running a 4.2. That's outstanding. But this guy understands how to create separation. And we have a situation to where if the play breaks down and Cam Ward, you know, gets in trouble, who is he going to look to? He's going to look to Restrepo. Why? Because they played at the same school. So I know we have a lot of receivers. I know we have a lot of guys. But the one guy that I absolutely love is Restrepo.
We're talking to Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Chris, I asked Trevor Maddich this question yesterday. I'm interested to get your opinion on this as well as a former NFL receiver. You know, Cam Ward put out a video earlier this week, him working out, and then he was talking about Calvin Ridley and how he's the best receiver he's ever played with, and he can't wait to play with him. How important is that connection for the success of both of those players?
Man, it is. I mean, it's like Montana and Jerry Rice. I mean, you have, you know, Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison. Those guys work together. Because the thing about it is, when you have a receiver and a quarterback that has the same eyes, when I say have the same eyes, is understanding what coverage is, understand when to throw the football, understand if it's one high or two high, or the middle's open over his clothes, or, you know, things like that. When you have a quarterback and a receiver that sees the same thing, you're going to have a chance to make some plays. I mean, if you look at Montana and Rice, they can be triple coverage. Montana knew where he threw the ball was. Why? Because that was his security blanket. Then now you got Cam Ward. He needs a guy like Calvin Ridley. He needs a guy that's explosive. He needs a guy that sees the field when it's cover three or cover two, whatever coverage it is, to make him be a better quarterback. So when you have a guy that can make him better, but then also don't forget Tyler Lockett, two guys that played the game that can make him better. By why? Having the same eyes as a quarterback.
Right. And how much do you think that veteran mentality comes from, you know, Tyler Lockett, Van Jefferson, Calvin Ridley? How much do you think that affects not only Cam Ward, but also the younger wide receivers in the room?
Man, it affects them real good, because if you look at, you know, earlier in the season, they talked about them guys watching film at 5 in the morning. They're not just doing that to be cute for the coaches to look at them and say, oh, look at me, we're here at 5 in the morning. It's understanding, okay, I'm turning on the field. This is where I need you to be. This is where your eyes need to be. When you run the comeback, beat me back to the sidelines. When you got press coverage, about how to get the guy off the spot, how to lie with his eyes, how to burst off the cut, how to do all those things as a wide receiver. So now you got a quarterback that's on the same page with Calvin Ridley, with Tyler Lockett, with James Prochet, guys like that that played in the league. He's going to make your quarterback not look like a rookie, but look like a professional. Why? Because they all have the same eyes.
Chris, I got a fun one for you here. We're going to have this conversation later on. Bleacher Report came out with their Mount Rushmore of Titans players since the franchise moved to Tennessee. Who would you put on your Mount Rushmore? I know you've played with a lot of these guys. Who are your top four Titans of all time?
You know what? Dang gummit. I have to go with Bruce Matthews. The reason why I'm going with him is because he's been a pillar of this whole organization. He was there with the Houston Oilers, came here, and just was a pillar in this organization. Number two, I'm going to have to go with Eddie George. I mean, number one, he went to the Ohio State University with me. I'm going to put him actually on there because I love the way he worked. I love the way he took this franchise. It was a workhorse in this organization. And then number three, I'm going to have to go with Steve Mack, one of the toughest guys that ever played against. played the game to perfection, played the game with a lot of heart, played the game hurt. And then my fourth guy, I mean, you can go with CK2, whatever it's called.
Yep.
Or you can go with Derrick Henry. It's one of those that you can't go wrong. So if I had to pick, I got to go with Derrick Henry.
And the reason
why I'm going Derrick Henry, because he put the whole franchise on his back.
It's a tough exercise.
Oh, man.
You know, especially with running backs have just been
– oh, my gosh.
There really hasn't been much of a fall off. You go from Eddie and then a couple years later get CJ, and then a few years after that,
right,
Derrick Henry. It's tough, but
– it is.
You know, I think that's a pretty good list you got there.
Oh, man.
I'm going to tell D-Mace you didn't put him on that list, though.
No. D-Mace is in the mix.
Honorable mention.
So he's the best receiver to ever come out of this organization, period. Hands down. It ain't even a question.
Chris, last one for you here. We're under 2 weeks away, actually 2 weeks from today, first training camp practice for the Titans. Cam Ward heading into his rookie season. What do you think is going to be important for him to have success? And, you know, he's going to have some bad days, but how do you keep the confidence up as he heads into his rookie season?
You know, I'm just watching him, how he responds to adversity, because there's going to be times where, you know, Jeffrey Simmons is going to hit him in the mouth in practice. There's going to be times where he throws an interception. There's going to be times where he has a good 7-on-7, he has a bad 7-on-7, he has a good team, he has a bad team. But I want to watch how when he falls, he gets back up. When he makes a mistake, he gets back up. When he throws an interception, he gets back up. And I just want to see him keep developing into the player that he is, because I went and watched practice about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he's a leader already. He's making the defense better. He's making the offense better. He's making the receivers better. He's making all these guys better. I just want him to keep going in that direction, even when he makes mistakes.
Chris, always great talking to you. Thanks for hopping off the practice field to chat with us, and we'll talk
appreciate
to you next week.
I'm sorry I sound like Barry White. I'm sorry.
You sound like Billy Ocean. What are you talking about?
Oh, well, you'll never find.
Always good to hear from you, Anthony Mackie.
Hey, man, appreciate y'all so much. Thank you.
Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, joining us for his weekly visit to the program. Always fun to talk with Chris Sanders. And, you know, Parker's got the talking with TD connection with him, too. So, you know, throw a few jabs back and forth there. We'll take a quick break when we come back. Hour number two here on this Wednesday. And as we have all week, we'll continue our NFL preview. Going to the West today. AFC West, NFC West. What do we see in the AFC West? Will the Chiefs roll to another division title? And in the NFC West, kind of a muddled mix of teams there. Who comes out on top? We'll go through it in hour number two here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.